In the final pasuk of the parasha of Tzitzis, the parasha which we say every day in Kriya Shema, at least two times a day, and the parasha which is also the last aliyah and maftir of Parasha Shlach, we say the pasuk Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Tzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt. I am Hashem. So the question is, why do we learn this pasuk? Why does the pasuk say Ani Hashem twice? So Rashi is sensitive to this question, and quoting the Medrash in the Sefrei on Bamidbar, Rashi says, Ani hu osid lahavchin v'lipara min ha-toyla kolo ilon bebigdai v'oimer t'chelasi. I am Hashem, I am going to discern who it is that ties a less expensive sort of blue-dyed string to their tzitzis and calls it t'chelas. Because t'chelas is a very expensive dye, it's made from a certain sea creature, whereas kol ha'ilon, which is this alternative t'chelas, looks like t'chelas, but it doesn't actually count as t'chelas, it's made from some sort of vegetable. So this is a very interesting drasha, and it's particularly relevant if you're one of those who paskins that t'chelas is a real thing nowadays. So if somebody were to try to fit into their community and walk around the cheaper version of t'chelas, that would be in violation of this pasuk, and that would be a big problem. But as with all things in Torah, and particularly mitzvos, Torah's Chabad tells us that there is a symbolic lesson that we can learn from t'chelas and kol ha'ilon, which pertains to our daily lives. The Zohar HaKadosh distinguishes between two sorts of light, Nehoira Chivra and Nehoira Uchma. And in some places, the Zohar calls Nehoira Uchma Nehoira Tichla. Now, Nehoira Chivra in Aramaic just means white light, and Nehoira Uchma means dark or violet light. But note that the Zohar interchanges the word dark or violet with the word Tichla, which is the same word as t'cheles. Now, to get a handle on white light and dark light, these concepts are not as foreign as you might think. If you ever look at a flame on a candle, you'll see the flame can be split into two. Most of the flame is going to be white. But if you look at the bottom of the flame, the part of the flame that's right next to the wick, it's dark blue. So what do these symbolize? The white, Chassidus tells us, symbolizes chesed, symbolizes kindness, lack of struggle, clarity, cleanness. It's a clean burn. Whereas the blue corresponds to the side of gerura, to the side of severity, the side of conflict, side of struggle. And that's particularly strongly symbolized in the candle, because the part that's blue is the part that's right by the wick. And that's the part that is burning the wick, that is consuming the wick. So you could almost conceptualize it as a conflict between the fire and the wick. Now the Alter Rebbe in Sefer Lekutei Torah, in his Drushim for Parsha Shlach and for Parsha Korach, as well as the Alter Rebbe in the Siddur Sharei Tzitzis, and the Mittler Rebbe in his Imre Bino, Sharei Tzitzis, basically in all the Makarios and Teres Chabad, which talk about Tzitzis, the distinction is made between the white string and the blue string. The white string corresponds, or the white strings correspond to the side of Chesed, to the side of kindness, a lack of internal spiritual struggle. The blue string, however, symbolizes our internal spiritual struggle and our internal severity, and also the need for criticism of evil, and particularly the Alter Rebbe says, the need for self-criticism. So that's at least the first level of symbolism, the first layer of symbolism. And before we move on to learn about the difference between t'cheles and kol ha'ilon, we should just observe that the Mashpia, the Chernobyler Mashpia, the Shlomo Danziger, once taught that most of the strings in the tzitzis are white and only one string is blue, because most of ones of Avodas Hashem should be in a manner of chesed, in a manner of kindness, in a manner of love, both towards oneself and towards others. However, it's necessary to have some degree of strength, some degree of severity, some degree of intensity, and even some degree of inner conflict, and at times, conflict with others. However, In Tovshin Mem Tes, the Rosh Kelel of the Crown Heights community, the Rosh Kelel Lubavitch, Rav Yosef Avraham Heller, published a sefer called Sholim Yia. And in that book, Rabbi Heller talks about the pervasive issue in frum communities around the world that frum Jews can't seem to get along. Frum communities seem to be racked by conflict. The Magid Shir of Yom Tov Lipman HaLevi Heller once quipped that there is always a Hafganah in Yerushalayim. It doesn't matter what the Hafganah is about, there always is a Hafganah. The subject will always be different. So conflict is a pervasive feature, and a pervasive internal feature of Jewish communities. So, Rav Yosef Avraham Heller explained as follows. And in this, he's quoting the Tzemach Tzedek in Ara Torah. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Ani Hashem Ha'osad Li Pora U'Lahavchin, Bein HaToyle Klo Ilon Bebigdoi, Oy, HaToyle Tzitz Bebigdoi. I am Hashem who in the future will come, discern, judge, and punish he who hangs the false tcheles on his garment as opposed to the true tcheles. What this means spiritually is that in a case of conflict, conflict can come from one of two places. It can come from a place of true desire to defend Hashem and his honor. Some conflicts are necessary. Some conflicts are true. However, the Tzemach Tzedek explains both there in Aratayah and Derech Betzasecha, Mitzvah Lois of Aru Eish, that most of the time when people engage in conflict, even over religious matters, it's not because at bottom they truly, truly care about the religious matter, but rather, the Tzemach Tzedek says, it's self-serving. It serves their ego. Either this particular conflict serves their ego, or they're the type of people who love conflict, no matter what the conflict is. They're always the ones at the Afkana. They are be'etzem, people of conflict. So this teaching of the Tzemach Tzedek, this psychological interpretation of the difference between Klo'ilon and Tcheles, calls upon us to take a step back. Whenever we feel the desire to engage in a conflict with ourselves or with somebody else, and particularly with somebody else, we should ask ourselves, is this conflict ultimately driven? Is it ultimately motivated by my ego? Or is it truly motivated by a desire to serve Hashem and to advance the divine agenda? And even if you believe that your motivation for engaging in this conflict is to advance the divine agenda, the Tzemach Tzedek tells us that very often people's nature is such that they want to engage in conflict. So you are not an objective judge. And therefore, before engaging in conflict, take a deep breath. Say a Kapitel Tillin. Pray on it. Daven on it. And think, is this really a good idea? And then, after you've taken a deep breath, and after you've davened, ask some wise people and ask them, is it truly a good idea to enter this conflict? And only then, after you've made these preparatory moves, can you be reasonably certain that on that day, when Hashem comes to exact judgment from those who hung Kla'ilon on their tzitzis, from those who engage in conflict, from a self-serving place, from an egotistic place, will Hashem find you to be innocent in His eyes? To the outside observer, Tcheles and Klo'ilon, ego-motivated conflict and genuine, disinterested, positive conflict look the same. The only ones who know the difference are you and Hashem.